Welcome, everybody. It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Great to be in studio today and back after a little hiatus. You know, it's tough to have a business schedule during the summer when everybody wants to be off.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Well, look, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective Radio Show. And our topic for today is, you talk, but are you communicating? Well, you know, it was interesting to me to note that when I Googled the term, why can't we communicate, what came up was sites on marriage relationships. Not one single reference to any other type of relationship or situation. Now, I don't believe that the reason for this is that all of our other relationships are perfect. Instead, it's perhaps that only in our marriage relationships do we put forth the effort to really improve communications? I'm not too sure. But it was kind of interesting that when you Google it, nothing from a business perspective comes up. You know, it's easy in business to blame the situation or the problem or even the other person rather than looking at, are we communicating effectively or did our communication fail? But you know, as I think about my coaching for the last month or so, almost all of it boils down to the need to work on communication. Some of it was individual one-on-one communication. Others were all about group communication, everything from meetings with a couple of people to presentations with large groups to board of directors meetings to family meetings, all interested and or all dealing in some way with issues that sort of the solution was how to improve our communication. Well, you know, let's sort of start out here by defining what communication is. Webster says it's the transfer of information. You know, I don't like that definition. It sounds way too one way for me. I want, for our purpose today, to define communication as the interaction between people when they're seeking to understand each other, or that which is being discussed. This can be one-on-one, it can be a group presentation, whatever. You know, based on that, I guess what I'm doing today is not communication since it's all one way. Please, somebody, call in, talk to me. Well, this is why I love to present to small groups where there can be interaction that confirms and broadens the knowledge of the subject being discussed. A key part of communication that frequently gets overlooked, and I want to start our conversation today with it so it doesn't get overlooked, is all about listening. When I say communication, we think about talking, we think about presentation skills, we think about how are we articulating our words, what is our choice of words. But really, communication, since it's a two-way street, the listening is absolutely key to effective communication. And you know, effective communication is not just taking turns talking, with each person just expressing their opinions or sharing their interpretation of the facts while they wait for the other person to stop talking so they can talk. That's not communication. It's also not listening. So in coaching, we sort of roughly define three levels of listening. And I want to just share those definitions with you because I think they're really key to improving our communication. Level one is referred to as listening to. Listening to. And this level of listening occurs when you're listening to the content of what the other person is telling you. Frequently, the content they're sharing will elicit your personal emotional response. Thus, you're also listening to the chatter in your head, which includes your judgment, your opinions, and your reaction to the content that they're sharing. Most non-professional listening occurs at this level one level. You know, it's listening to the content from the other person and listening to the chatter in your head. Level two is defined as listening for, F-O-R, listening for. And this occurs when you're listening with the purpose of determining what the other person is saying beneath the context of their words. You're listening for the underlying issues and needs. You're listening for when they're not telling the entire truth to you or themselves. You're listening for the missing information, the facts that aren't there. When you're doing this kind of listening, it's like having a hard focus on the other person in that you're listening for their agenda, not your own agenda. In other words, you're listening to what they have to say, what they mean, what they're trying to communicate, and you're not thinking about what you're going to say next in response. It's not the taking turns in a conversation. Now, of course, the ultimate in listening is level 3, which is referred to as conscious listening. This occurs when you're listening with all of your senses, with your intuition, with your entire body. Versus the hard focus of level 2, it's a soft focus on the environment around you and the person with whom you're speaking. Now, I say soft focus because you're sensing and listening to things other than just the words. You're sensing energy shifts in the person. You're sensing movement, their body language, volume in their voice. Conscious listening lets you listen to the big picture. That's kind of a conflict. Listen to the picture. Okay. So the key is to listen to the other person, not only for what they're saying, but for what they're not saying. Listening is both verbal and visual. To listen at level 3, what is their body language saying? Is it consistent with their words? What are the emotions they're conveying? Are they consistent with their words? You know, how many times have we talked to somebody and they're saying, yeah, I'll do that, and they're shaking their head no. Unconsciously, they're telling you how they really feel about doing that while they're giving you back the verbal response that you are expecting to get. So the first thing here today in terms of effective listening is to be more aware of, are you truly listening to the other person? Are you focused in on the conversation with a soft focus that lets you be aware of not just the words, but aware of the energy level, aware of the things they're not saying, aware of the emphasis they're placing? And this requires some tapping into or allowing your intuition to help you listen. Now, you know, on a business conversation, people get a little freaked out when we start talking about intuition. But the way I look at intuition is the use of our brain the same way we would use a supercomputer. I can't follow how fast my computer can calculate things and go through formulas and arrive at the answer. Same way, intuition is really just my brain taking all of my past knowledge about this person, this conversation, taking in all of the things they're not saying, taking in the changes in pace in the conversation, taking in the change in tone, the volume, taking in the emotions, the facial expressions, the body movement, all of those things in a split second, and creating what we would call intuition, which we would call, we intuit that there is something else going on here. But it is not a woo-woo kind of thing. It is hard, factual data from our brain that we just have trouble accessing on the conscious level because it's happening so quick. Let's pause for a moment on this area of listening. Does anyone really do this? I mean, as you're talking with someone at work or at home, are you aware of how you're listening, of what level listening that you have going on? You know, I'd love to do a test right now. Okay, everybody in the audience listening to today's show, what level listening is going on right now? Are you just listening level 1 to my words? Are you listening level 2 to the meaning beyond the words? Or are you doing the conscious listening where you're picking up more than just the facts here? You know, for some of us, the answer when you ask the question, do you do this when you listen, the answer would be, no, I don't do any of that. For some of you, you may do it, but you're not even aware you're doing it. My point here today is that to improve the effectiveness of your communications, you need to focus on your technique, not just the conversation. Think of it like playing tennis. When you're playing tennis, you're out there on the court. The other person has hit the ball to you. As you run up to the ball, what are you thinking? Are you thinking where you just want to hit the ball back to? Or are you also thinking about, is my grip on the racket right? Do I have my elbow bent the right way? Is my forearm going okay? Is the head of the racket level so that I'm going to get a good placement? Is my swing, am I back far enough that I'm going to get a full power in my swing? And what about my feet? Where are my feet so that I can get all the power behind my body on this return? You know, the pros do this when they play tennis without even thinking about it because they have practiced and practiced and practiced to the point where they're unconsciously doing all of those things before they hit the ball. The intermediate and the beginning players are trying to do this at the same time that they're thinking about where I'm going to hit the ball. And hey, we all know what that results in. It results in a whole lot of misses. Well, the same thing applies to your communication skills, to your listening skills here. You need to practice so that your listening is so automatic that all of the rest of your focus can be on the content, so that you're automatically using a soft focus. You're being aware of what's not said, not just what is said. In a social conversation, I think we are probably almost automatically better at this than we are in a business conversation. Maybe it's because so many of our social conversations don't go that deep, so we don't have to focus that hard on the content. Instead, we're able to go, guy, this person is really seems kind of stressed about this topic. Or this person seems really passionate about what they're talking about. Or what they're saying isn't consistent with their body language. What's going on here? But in business, we sort of lose that focus because we get so focused on the content. What are the facts? Are those the right numbers? Was it 92% or 91% that he said? You know, do I believe those facts? And we're thinking about just the content and we're missing what's behind the delivery. Would encourage you, number one, to improve your communication is to practice your listening skills. Practice being truly aware of what's going on with the other person in the conversation other than just the facts. Now, you can do this not only while you are listening to them talk, but you can also do this at the same time that you are talking. How many times have you been explaining something to someone only to become aware of the fact that they've tuned out? They're not listening anymore. Now, maybe it's because you've lost eye contact with them and they're now texting somebody. They're on their phone. Pretty obvious one. Look, hey, hold on. You listening to me? Oh, yeah, I'm listening, Doug. I can multitask. I have some doubts about that. Or maybe they're still giving you eye contact, but maybe their facial expression, maybe the way they moved in their seat, maybe the way they said, uh-huh, leads you to believe that they didn't really mean, uh-huh, they meant, I don't get this at all. What in the world is he talking about? So listening skills can be practiced, should be practiced, should be utilized, both when you are listening to the other person talk and when you are talking yourself. Well, you know, I want to share with you when we talk about how to increase or be more effective in our communication. In my coaching, I make frequent use of the DISC assessment tool. And if you're not familiar with this, this is a tool that tells you what your communication style is so that you can understand how others are perceiving you. It also gives you tools to help you identify what other people's communication styles are. Now, the basic premise here is that without this awareness of what our own style is and what the person we're communicating with, what their style is, then what we do is we resort to communicating with people the way we like to be communicated with, not how they would like to be communicated with. You know, it's the old adage of the golden rule, treat others like you would like to be treated, which has been surpassed now with the platinum rule, which says in recognition of diversity, in recognition of generational gaps, which says that treat others as they would like to be treated. The same thing applies here in how we communicate with people. We need to identify, how does the other person want to be communicated with? Now, for me, the DISC is a great tool for this. It's a tool I use in coaching all of my new clients because it gives me some immediate insight into what their preferred method of communication is. And it also identifies their communication style, which is always a subject of our coaching eventually. Okay. In fact, I find that when I have a new client for the first, I want to say few months, it can vary, but let's say for the first few months before every coaching session, whether it's on the phone or whether I'm going to their office, I pull out the DISC report and I read the summary of how they like to be communicated with and how they like not to be communicated with. And it reminds me of the fact that I have to treat them different than the way I want to be treated. And this enhances. Now, this is the kind of thing that if I had known you for 10 years, maybe I sort of know this automatically if I'm an observant people person and if I think about these things, so I wouldn't need this report. But I have to tell you, even in situations where I've used this with people who've known each other for many years, they're surprised. Are they surprised at the information, at the person's communication style? Not really. But they're surprised at the fact that they haven't been thinking about it. They haven't been being aware of, oh, if that's the way they'd like to be communicated with, which I guess I knew, why am I not doing it? So this is a great tool, the DISC report. However, I think the greatest value in this assessment tool is in working with groups. And by groups, I mean it can be an employee-manager relationship. It can be partners. It can be teams. It can be families. It can even be boards of directors. It doesn't make any difference whether it's two people talking to each other or whether it is 20 people trying to work together on a board or a team or a family. It's always an eye-opener for people to see their own style and to find out how others see their style. This sort of gives instant recognition or creates instant recognition as to why certain people are not communicating well. It goes without saying that I don't think I've ever worked with a group with a DISC report that early in the training that somebody in the group didn't immediately say, oh, that's why you always act that way, or oh, that's why you don't like the way I present. It's sort of like the light bulb goes off and they now get what it is that's different between their style and the other person's, and they suddenly realize that's why we're having trouble here. You know, now, of course, that's pretty instantaneous. The next step takes a little longer, and that's learning to modify your own style to fit others who are different. I want to take a little bit of time here, you know, because it would be confusing to go into any depth on the DISC report using a radio show or a podcast, but I'd like to give you a few basic definitions in the hope that it might inspire you to look into this tool, or it might inspire you to think of using it in new ways, okay? So let me first explain what DISC stands for, D-I-S-C, capital letters. D stands for dominance, or how you respond to problems and challenges. I stands for influence, or how you influence others to your point of view. And S stands for steadiness, or how you respond to the pace of the environment. And C stands for compliance, or how you respond to rules and regulations. Now, just with that basic definition, we can look at the differences in people. So a person who has got a high D score is very aggressive about tackling problems. It's the kind of person that as soon as you start to tell them about the problem, they're probably almost already working on it, either mentally or physically, before you're through even explaining what the problem is. Whereas the person who has a low score in that D range, not that they can't solve the problem just as well, but that person approaches it more cautiously. They're probably waiting to explain the whole problem. They probably have a bunch of follow-on questions to better understand what the issue is here that we're trying to solve before they launch into solving it. So can you think of people who are the high Ds who immediately, you know, the typical stereotype profile of the high D is the entrepreneur? You know, who in their right mind would start a business if they weren't absolutely sure of the fact that they could solve any problem that was out there? The high I person likes to influence others to their point of view. This is somebody who is very social. This is somebody who likes to work in teams, okay? This is not the kind of person that's going to be happy in a job working in a cubicle all by themselves with the lights down low and no human interaction. This is the kind of person that the minute you give them something to do, they go, oh, I know two or three people I can get together to help me solve this problem and we'll get a better answer. The steadiness is the person we're going to talk about pace and what they like to do here. And the C is compliance. This is the person, the high C is the person who always follows the rules, very much aware of the rules and the regulations. Whereas the low C is the person who feels, oh yeah, there's a rule about that, but it wasn't meant for me. I like to think of the first time we identified this, my wife and I, we were actually driving on our honeymoon. And she was making some observations about my driving skill. Those of you who are married can relate to this. And she said, you know, the speed limit here isn't what you're driving. And I said, oh, but those are yellow signs. Those are just the suggested speed limit. That's not the real speed limit. And she thought for a minute and said something like baloney. But anyhow, she is very much a rule follower. She is very conscious of the rules. If it says 35, she's going to drive 35. On the other hand, for me, I looked at it and thought, yeah, it says 35, but it seems perfectly safe to go 45. And that's where I'm going. You know, the key thing here is how do you identify what somebody's style is? Okay, how would I know that you would be a high D? Well, let me give you some tips. You're going to tell me something rather than ask something. You're going to talk fast. You're going to be very results-oriented. You're going to aggressively attack problems. You're going to like others to be direct, straightforward, and be open to your high desire for results. Now, the high I is the person, the very social person, they're going to talk about their feelings. They may go off on a tangent. They're going to share their personal emotions. They may exaggerate things when they tell a story. They're very animated, maybe have a short attention span. They like others to be very friendly, emotionally honest, and hey, they want some recognition. Now, I'll tell you right now, I've always thought I should be a high D. But I always turn out to be a high I on these assessments. I'm the guy that wants to talk to people. I have been known to exaggerate in my stories. The S is somebody who listens more than talks. They have a slow, steady delivery. They're casual. They're very service-oriented. They're tolerant of other people. They like others to be recognized, to be agreeable, to be cooperative, and to show appreciation. And the C, not a lot of reaction to anything you tell them. They're very precise, very detailed speech, very time conscious, very orderly. They're focused on tasks and processes. And they like others to minimize socializing and give details. They value accuracy and attention to detail. Now, one of the things that's really interesting about these communication styles is they are very significant, or they're very influential in you selecting the career that you're going to pursue. People who are high C's, that are very rule conscious, tend to evolve into occupations, into businesses like engineering, like accounting, into fields that reward accuracy, reward preciseness, reward following the rules, okay? The high C wouldn't be the person sitting in a dark cubicle creating next month's new award-winning game on mobile platforms. The high I is the person that, you know, they need to work in an environment with other people. It's kind of interesting that in the life of corporations, high D's tend to start companies because they're risk takers. They aggressively solve problems. And the company eventually reaches a size where the high D becomes the problem. Because the high D, if there are no problems, they will create a problem to solve because that's how they get their value. As a company reaches maturity, what you see is high I's tend to be the ones that are sitting in the chief executive spot because they are very social. They're very good at getting people to work together, about getting group consensus, about making everyone feel a part of what they're doing. So again, are any of these traits good or bad? No, it depends what you're applying them to. The joke I always like to tell when I'm working with groups and to make the point that it's not good or bad is, if you picture yourself on an ocean liner and the ship is starting to sink, who do you want in charge of the lifeboats? You do not want the high C. If you put the high C in charge of the lifeboats, he's sitting down there telling people, I'm sorry, Paul, you have to get off the lifeboat. You've just overweighed the standard weight for the lifeboat by a tenth of a pound. Not what we want to hear as the ship is sinking. The high D is the person we want in charge of the lifeboats as we go down. He's throwing people in the lifeboats. He doesn't care what the rules are, doesn't care what the weight limitation is. It's get everybody in a boat and save their life right now. Okay? The high I, he's organizing the line. Excuse me, could you go to the back of the line here? We're trying to get the women in line first. Or please don't push or shove. Instead of loading the boat, he's taking care of the line, the queue, to get on the boat. So again, it isn't that one type of communication skill is better than the other. It's that certain types fit certain situations, fit certain types of occupations. Couple other things before I wrap it up for today. I just want to share with you emotions. The high D, typically short fuse, quick to anger. The high I, they trust everyone, even the stranger they just met on the street. The S, you do not want to play poker with the high S. They don't show their emotions. Deadpan. And the high C, as we've talked about, they have a fear of breaking the rules. They're going to ask for permission before they ever break a rule. So, in summary, what does this mean for people with different communication styles? Well, if we are looking to hire or we're working with people who are high D's, their idea is they want to achieve success by taking decisive action towards their goal. They don't want to be in a meeting discussing 15 alternatives. They don't want to adjourn the meeting before we've reached a decision. Their idea of a good meeting is one where we made a decision and we left it. We left the meeting and they were then left to act. The high I, they want to achieve success by persuading others to work with them towards the goal. They don't really care if we ever reached a conclusion in this meeting, this hypothetical meeting we're talking about. They just want to know that everybody got a chance to talk. We all got a chance to participate. This was a great meeting, Doug. Everybody expressed their opinions. Meanwhile, Paul, the high D, is sitting over there. Could you just make a decision? Come on, stop talking about it. Now, the S just wants to work with other people as part of a team to achieve success, not looking for individual success as much as for team success. And the C, well, we know where the C is. Did we follow the rules? It's all about the rules. So hopefully that sort of quick look at the DISC report, which is a good way to talk about different communication styles, will sort of whet your appetite to learn a little bit more about this if you don't already. Whether you're a coach that's working with clients, and this is a great tool to get them to look at what their communication is doing to their relationships without getting too personal about it by using an independent evaluation. If you're just somebody who's having some difficulty with the kids at home or your spouse or your next door neighbor, you might give some thought as to, hey, I wonder what their style is. You know, it was kind of fun that I recently was working with a family that wanted to improve their communication, and they had a suggestion that I thought, why didn't I ever think of that? They said, you know, next time we watch a TV show together, let's see if we can identify what the communication style is for the main characters. And right away, somebody threw out the Big Bang Theory. If you haven't watched the show, I apologize, but for those of you who have watched the Big Bang Theory, it was very quick. We identified that Penny, the let me say, typical blonde, no offense anybody, she was all social. She was obviously the high eye, all about social relationships. Sheldon, the genius scientist, was all about the rules. In the show, he even has roommate rules, and of course, Sheldon is the one in charge of the rules. So he was the high C. And there was the guy that's always trying to get a date on the show. I think his name was Howard. And we decided Howard was the high D. He was willing to try anything. In fact, even during the show, at one point, he became an astronaut and went out into space. So it was kind of interesting to sit there as a group and talk about or look at a TV show and go, what do you think their communication styles are? I'm pretty sure that if any of us did this on a few times with a group at home or a group at work or wherever, we would get better at identifying what people's communication styles were. And then the next step is we would get pretty good at, since we already knew what ours was, at how do we modify our style to match theirs. So my takeaway for you today is that I hope that you're now more aware of your communication style. I hope you're interested in learning how to identify others' communication style so that you can blend or modify your style to match theirs and achieve more effective communication. That's all I have to say on effective communication on today's short show. This is Doug Gefeller. I hope that you enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals and improve your communication with the rest of the world. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.